Hello, this is the sermon for the fourth Sunday in Lent. I will read the gospel text appointed for the day, and then the sermon will follow. From the Holy Gospel according to the 9th chapter of John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how are your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." The man answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. It is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Thanks be to God. And if you would pray with me, please. Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your Son and bring to naught all he has done. Amen. It was a beautiful sun-drenched day. The kind of day where you can see for miles through the western skies, the kind of day that only Yellowstone in summer can provide. A group of college students, summer workers for the park concessionaires, decided to use an early day off to go hiking up to a meadow across the Yellowstone River. Have a picnic, maybe do some swimming in the pools on the edges of the river. Just simply enjoy the day. On the way there, a portion of their group decided to take a shortcut and beat the rest to the meadow. But the cut would require fording the river rather than crossing at the footbridge built on the main trail. Since it was still early summer, the river was high from the thawing snow and was cold and swift. In the crossing, one young lady lost her footing and was in danger of being swept away. But another of her group came to her aid. He caught hold of her and held to a rock while the rest of the group rescued her. But before the human chain they created could then turn and grab him, he lost his grip in the bitterly cold water and was swept away. He was 20. Rabbi, who sinned? This man? His family? His friends? This question put to Jesus at the very beginning of our gospel story today is one way that people throughout history have tried to understand and explain the things that history records. The long list of war, disease, financial loss, natural disaster that is a part of human existence. These words are not unfamiliar to us. We ourselves ask them. For whenever we look out at suffering, and to ask a question like this, who sinned, means that we see pain, disease, and loss as the result of retaliatory justice. The old phrase, an eye for an eye, captures well this view of suffering. You are suffering because of something that you did, of something that someone has done. And as you sow, so shall you reap. Now, to be fair, in some places and parts of life, and in some cases in daily living, such an assumption does hold true. And yet, whenever we dig deeper, such a clear, bright line about life seems to fade away. A direct connection between sins and suffering seems to be absent most of the time. I mean, after all, how do we connect a friend's sins to her cancer? How do we connect a family member's sins in a car accident? And while Jesus seems to reject a direct, easily identified line of causal relationships between sins committed and the fact of the man's blindness, he does acknowledge the mystery of suffering and sin's part in it. Now, Jesus does not seem particularly interested in explaining why the man is blind. But the text is clear that this man's suffering, like all unjust or unfathomable suffering, is related to sin, to the darkness, or to the nighttime of the world, as John puts it. And the answer, well, the answer, if we may call it that, which Jesus gives to the questions that are asked, is himself. He gives himself as the light of a world that is in darkness and is not particularly aware of it. For John, who writes this story, the answer to suffering, whether it is connected to specific sins or not, is the presence of the Son of Man, the one who bears God into the world. Jesus offers presence, not reasons. And after all, when one we love is suffering, the reason why is typically of cold comfort. True, reasons may explain how we got here, why this virus, why that accident, why no paycheck, why has my loved one left? But reasons in the end do little on their own to answer, what now? How am I to move forward? What is my life now? What is the meaning of this? Do I dare hope? That is why John is so keen to tell this story. For those who believe in Jesus as the Son of Man and as the power of God are not saved from suffering by some sort of intellectual truth or reasons, but rather are saved through or maybe in spite of suffering because of a new power that is working in life. Salvation becomes a present experience just as it was for the man born blind. That man experiences not just healing of a physical sort, but is drawn into a relationship with the one who brings wholeness and possibility and the deeper vision of faith, a vision that sees, a vision that is no longer groping in darkness, but sees what is possible. As the story unfolds, this man moves deeper and deeper into this relationship with Jesus until by the end he is worshiping the Lord. He sees him truly. And so we also, when we are brought into relationship with Jesus through baptism, we receive from his hand the deeper sight of faith. And now we are able to see that God does not abandon us to our own devices, that God does not leave us to muddle through the suffering of our lives to pick up whatever pieces are left to us, that God does not simply stand back and say, well, it's your problem. Rather, God moves and acts in our lives to give us hope, to give us a reason to get up and go, to remember that we are ourselves sent with good news. Think of it. Think of that day. The man born blind, now with mud and spit all over his face, must stagger from somewhere in the vicinity of the temple to that pool Jesus names. In the geography of Jerusalem, it may be something close to 700 yards. Down he goes, down the hill, down a narrow cobblestone lane, pushing past strangers and gawkers. Do you see him? As he stumbles along, would anyone be surprised if he thought awful thoughts? Thoughts of fear or dismay or growing disappointment? Is he in the end only a fool? This Jesus, packing his face with mud, requiring him to run such a gauntlet just for sport. And yet he goes on, and he arrives, and half falling, half throwing himself into the water, he begins to wash at his face, to scrub, even to claw. And rising, dripping wet, he sees. Yes, he sees Siloam. He sees he is Siloam. He is sent with a message of hope. And so are we. Amen.